Yeah, okay, so I want to just take up, there's a couple of things I just wanted to take up in the Chumash. One thing I want to take up is the old question. I don't believe we have it. I don't recollect that we did it. The question about Sarah, I'm going back a few parshas, a little bit behind. But the question about Sarah, Titzchak Sarah Bekibolema, in Vayera Yutches, in the beginning of Vayera. Beginning of first parsha of Vayera. Titzchak Sarah Bekibolema, Achrei Velosi Hoysali Edna Vadoni Zokan. So she left when she heard the Nevuah that she was going to be returned to her youth and be able to have a child. So the Yomer Hashem al Avram, Lo Mozet Tzachakos Sarah Lemar, Ha'af Umnom Eileid Vanizakanti. So it was a criticism against Sarah Imenu why she left. Okay, then Avram. Then Avram, Hayipolim at Hashem Dovar, Lamoed Oshuva Lover Kis Chayo Lasor Aven. And then the next passage continues, Vatchachesh Sor Alema, Lo Tzachakti, Ki Yireya. I'm afraid to admit it. Vayom Alo, Ki Tzachakti. So Avram is going to criticize it. Okay. So, yeah, so the question, of course, this is a tough question. This is a type of question you get caught sometimes between two poles. In other words, the question is, how could she do it? And then if you justify how she did it, so then the question is, so what's the criticism? I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's like a type of a question you can't escape. Either way you go, you're going to have a problem. You just keep going up and back. As I saw this Sforno, The Sforno tries to explain Sarah. So he says, "Vatitzchak Sarah shechashva shehoya dvar hamalach birkas novi bilvad." She thought it was only a birkas novi. Ki inyan Elisha lo nevua ushlichas hakel yisbarach. She didn't realize it was really a nevua. The chashva shelo yusag ze biskenim bibirkas shem novi. A Navi can't give you a bracha to override the laws of nature. Ki omnom lohoshev abachros achar zikna harei ketchias amazim. That's a neis nifla. Shelotia zulosi b'mitzvas hakel. Protis, obitfilo, maseges chaymeita. Okay, so in other words, so the Sforno says that she thought it was, she didn't know, she thought it was just a birkas navi. The birkas navi is not strong enough to override the laws of nature. So therefore she left. Okay, she left. Yeah. So the question, of course, is. And then he says, but then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "Hey, Yipolei Mer Hashem Dovah." Says, "Shamalach Lo Omar Ze Al Tzad Bracha, Avol Diber Kim Mevaser B'Shma." So that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Avram, that she's making a mistake. Okay, but then the problem is, of course, and then what was a chait? I mean, she thought it was a Birkas HaNavi, and we know that the Birkas HaNavi, like the Sforno says, is as wonderful as the Birkas HaNavi is, but the Birkas HaNavi has limitations. Nice bracha, but it can't override the laws of nature. So therefore, it's not going to cause. You can't, even though it's possible to happen, but it's something which is against the teva, and you can't change it. So that's why she was justified in laughing. So then he explains. Ipole Mer Hashem Dovah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, no, this is not just the Birkas HaNavi, but this is really, he says, Shemalach Lama Zeh Atzad Bracha, Aval Diber Kim Avasa B'Shma. So it was really a Dvar Hashem. Dvar Hashem, so then there's no problem, so then a Kaddish Baruch Hu could change the Teva. But then, of course, the question is, what did she do wrong? I mean, you know what I'm saying? Either way you go, you're going to have this problem. Either you're going to say that she did something wrong, in which case you understand the criticism of Yipolei Mer Hashem Dovah, or else if you say that she didn't do it, then you have a problem, how could she do it? And if you say she didn't do anything wrong, so then what's the criticism? Okay. See, Ramban also defends her. He says, Ramban also defends her, because Ramban says, "Vatchachesh sar lema, ani tema benevuas hatzadekis, eich takchish kashi oma Hashem lenavi." How could she deny that? Because Baruch said to the Navi, is this going to happen? "Vegam lama lo hamina ledivrei malach elokim." How come she didn't believe the Malach Hashem? "Vanira be'inai ki amalochem ha'ela hanirim ka'anoshim bo'o el Avraham v'hu hikir b'chachmasa Abraham." So the Ramban says that these were malochim, but the malochim sometimes in the person's mind appears like an Adam. So Avraham Avinu was hikir b'chachmasa Abraham. He recognized that this was an avua. Bisra so shavoshu elecho l'saravain l'sar shemats v'lo yada ki malachei elyon hain. She didn't know that. Kinyan beishis manoach v'ulei l'rasa osam klamim. She didn't see them all together. So then the question, of course, is so what did she do wrong? He just says briefly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu heshim osa. He blamed her Lavram. Why? Lama hayadov nimna be'eneha. Why did it seem like it's impossible? V'roi lo sheta'amin o shetomar omein ken yasa Hashem. It's a strange kind of criticism. What do you mean? If a person gives you a bracha, and this further to me seems more in line. To say that a person gives you a bracha of something that's like Kriyas HaMeisim, you should say ken omein, it's a difficult pshat. I mean, something that's absurd, you know. It's not a Malach Hashem. It's not Dvar Hashem. So there's sometimes something that's crazy. So you say Kain Yia. I mean, on the contrary, it seems like it's like arrogance on the person's part that the whole Teva, they think the Teva is going to change just for them. Yeah, difficult Ramban. But I think there's an interesting thing in this these few psukim over here. There's something here in Torah Shebichsav that stands out as very unusual. You see, we always say Dibra Torah Kolashim B'nei Adam. You say Dibra Torah Kolashim B'nei Adam, and it's true that there are many Mishalim in the Torah, Yad Hashem and Chora'af Hashem, and all these things which are stated in a way that even the masses of people that don't really have any deep metaphysical knowledge can get some idea that there's yesh din v'yesh dayan, that it's not olam kemen hodo noe, that there's yesh din v'yesh dayan, that there's hashgacha. So everyone has to know that idea. So the Torah went out of its way to use certain metaphors so even a plain person will understand that idea. Yeah, it's dibur Torah kolashim b'nei Adam, but the Torah is not only kolashim b'nei Adam. I mean that is a feature of Torah Shebichsav, but that's not the main feature. I mean there are tremendous sodos in the Torah Shebichsav, in the Lashna pasuk, deep ideas that are conveyed in a very brief and very concise manner. I think over here is one of these cases where. Where one word really shows you a very, very deep idea, and that is, the choice of the word in the criticism of HaKadosh Baruch Hu about Sarah when he spoke to Avram. "Vayom Hashem al Avram, lo mazet tzachka Sarah lema, afum lemelev ani zakanti." That's the content of the criticism. But then the next pasuk explains what the criticism is. What's the explanation? Hayipole me'ad Hashem davar. Hayipole me'ad Hashem davar. Now really as a choice of words, it's a wrong word. It should not be hayipole me'ad Hashem davar. It should be, what does hayipole? Hayipole means it's too, hayipole means hafla v'fel. Hafla Pella means an astounding
wonderment.
A wonder. a wonder. Well, it has nothing. What does it have to do with a wonder? And I'll show you. Pella doesn't really mean wonder either. Wonder is a bad translation. It means something else. We'll get exactly what it means. But the word that should have been used that would be expected is Hayimona Me'ad Hashem Dovo. Hayimona Me'ad Hashem Dovo. Okay? Why didn't the Torah use that word, Hayimona Me'ad Hashem Dovo? Is he going to say that God cannot do something? Is something that would God is cannot do it? So why didn't the pasuk use that word? There's a very good reason why the pasuk didn't use that word. Because if it would use that word, Hayimona Me'ad Hashem Dovo, it would imply something which is not true. Namely, that God can do anything. That God can do the impossible. And that's one of the things that the Rambam mentions, and others, not just the Rambam, but others mention, that the impossible is impossible because God dictated it to be impossible because of his chachma. And just like God's chachma makes things possible, but it makes things impossible also. So Hayimona Me'ad Hashem Dovo could not be used. Because that would imply that there's nothing that's impossible. But that's not true, because that would mean there's no chachma. If you say that nothing's impossible, that means that everything is just simply random and anything could happen, and there's no patterns in nature, and there's no laws of nature, and there's no chachma in nature. So that's why you see, interestingly, you see on the spot that the Torah did not use that word. Did not use the word Hayimona Me'ad Hashem Dovo. What word did it use? Hayipole Me'ad Hashem Dovo. It's an interesting thing, because it's when you read the pasuk, anyone that you see right away that word is funny. Hayipole, and the criticism is not clear. Whenever you see it's not clear, you know that there's something here the Torah is trying to teach you a deeper idea. Where do you see the word? Where do you have another case where you have the word? The same word as Hayipole. Same word. No, by the Slav is different. By it's interesting. By the Slav with Moshe Rabbeinu, when Moshe Rabbeinu said, "How could a hatzonu vaka yishachit lahem imis kol the gehayom yeosif lahem?" So there it doesn't say Hayipolim at Hashem Dova. There Akash Baruch Hu told Moshe a different phrase, Hayad at Hashem Tiktor, different expression. Excuse me. Yes, that's right. That's right. What was possible? Exactly. Ki pole mimcha dova la mishpat. That's where you have it. Ki pole mimcha dova la mishpat is an open pasuk. So you have access to another pasuk which has the exact same word. So you could see what that word means from that pasuk. Where's that? That's in Shoftim, right? Ki pole mimcha dvar mizayin ches. When there's something that you don't understand in Mishpat, in other words, it's a very difficult halacha, you don't know whether it's halacha in Tahiris, halacha in Mishpat, whatever, Choshem Mishpat, whatever area it might be, so that's a halacha. That if you don't understand something, someone comes to a Bezdin and they ask them a Shaila, and the Bezdin doesn't really know, doesn't understand it, they can't get down to the bottom of it, so they can't just make an arbitrary decision, but they must go to the higher Bezdin, where there are greater Chachomim, and pursue the case, and find out until they're able to be Mora Dovel Amito. So what is Ki Yipolei Mincha Dovel Amishpat mean? Ki Yipolei? It means you don't understand it. You don't understand it. Kipoli means you don't understand. Kipoli means it's a pella. Pella means when a person doesn't have any knowledge and he sees certain results, so he doesn't understand it. It's astounding. But when he digs deeper and if he understands the reasoning behind it, the knowledge of it, so then the pella is removed. You see? So when that's exactly what it means. Kipoli mimcha davar lamishpat means you don't understand it. That's the word Yipolei means. It's clear, because you see, in the context of a judgment and judges. So now what does it mean over here? Hayipole me'ad Hashem davar. What does it mean? Hayipole me'ad Hashem davar. What does it mean? It means, does God not understand something? That's what it means. Hayipole me'ad Hashem davar mishpat. And you see, Tirgum Onkelos said the exact same thing. Because Tirgum Onkelos said that the, in Pasuk Yedalad, is there anything that is covered over? It means that God doesn't understand. And the same thing he says, ki yipoli mimcha davar l'mishpat, arei yiskisei minoch pisgama l'dina. Something you don't understand. In other words, you're in a situation where Dayan has a case and he doesn't really understand the halacha. Or a difficult case, he doesn't understand halacha. There's no halacha. He's baffled. Yes, yeah, so now it's a strange. So now the question is, let's come back over here to the case with the case by Sarah. So the case by Mishpat, I understand clearly what it means. I keep following the level of Mishpat. The Dayan doesn't understand. But what, how does that fit into the criticism over here? Are you pole mad or Hashem davar? What's it got to do with her laughing? What does it have to do with her laughing? You see. So what's the answer? So the first thing you see is that the pasuk is, by using the word yipole, the pasuk is showing you that it is something that's possible. It's something that's possible, but you have to have knowledge in order to know how it works. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying to Avram that Sarah didn't say it's impossible. So what must be her assumption? Why is she laughing? Because she must be saying that God doesn't have the knowledge. That's the only possible way to interpret the laughing. You understand? In other words, do you follow what I'm saying? The knowledge of how the human body works, the knowledge, the biological knowledge necessary to transform her to her youth. Do you follow? Her left is implying something. Is she implying that God lacks knowledge? That's what the pasuk means. You follow? In other words, the only way that God, and to say that God can't, this is something which is possible, so to say that God cannot bring it about would imply that he doesn't have the knowledge of how it works. Do you follow? What? In other words, the pasuk is not saying what she thought, because it was a laugh, it was a reaction. But God was defining that reaction. He was saying that reaction would imply this. It would imply that I don't have the knowledge. Do you understand? That's the... Right. Yeah, because... the word ayipole means that, in other words, God is saying that this is certainly not in the realm of the impossible. So what would the laugh imply? Since it's not in the realm, I mean, you understand, have to understand something. That the pasuk has to be speaking in certain premises. The pasuk can't go through every single premise. The pasuk is saying the following. That God is saying that since it's in the realm of the possible, so the laugh is an implication that God doesn't have the knowledge. Do you follow? You understand that? Because since it's built, the word ayipole, in other words, the word ayipole is assuming a certain premise. The premise is that it's possible. Because that I told you before, that Yahadis maintains, like the Rambam says, that there's only a fool believes that God does the impossible. You see? So therefore, what the pasuk is saying is that this is in the realm of the possible. Now, what would justify the laugh? The justification could only be that God doesn't have the knowledge, and that of course is not true. Do you follow?
Why can't it be that?
When I explain it to you like this, it's not the pasuk is not the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not defining what she's saying.
The pasuk is saying
that this laugh can only mean one thing. It can only mean this, which it can't be. You understand what I'm saying? So in other words, the pasuk is saying this is in the realm of the possible. The kosher was saying she doesn't know it. She can't say it's not in the realm of the possible. So what would justify the laugh? The laugh is that a kosher baruch hu, it's like he polymer chadav la mishpat. that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have the knowledge. So you see, by the choice of the word, you see an unbelievable thing in terms of the choice of the word, that the choice of this word shows you the idea. The Torah went out of its way not to use a word that would give you the wrong implication. Hayimona me'ad Hashem davar, because that would imply that God could do the impossible, and that would not be true. So the pasuk, like the Rambam explains, so therefore the pasuk says hayipole, which throws it into a different sphere, that God is saying, is so, why is Sarah laughing? Is she laughing because she's saying that I don't have the knowledge? That's the only possibility. You understand what I'm saying? But the pasuk is conveying to you the idea that God only works within the realm of the possible. By using that word, ayipole, it's conveying to you the idea clearly that God only works in the realm of the possible, which is one of the things that Rambam has in the... one of the things Ram mentions clearly in the Mar. I don't even think it's not a sod in the Mar. I mean, it's a double pasha. The Ram's the only fools think otherwise, because it's a denial of the whole idea of Chachma. So it's an imaginary, people are very linked to their imagination. But you see how the pasuk went out of its way to show you this idea, the Torah Shebechsav went out of its way to show you the idea that God does not do the impossible. But there's more here besides. See, there's more here besides in the pasuk. Why? Because there's something still lacking in Hayipole. What is lacking in Hayipole? Something still lacking. So you say, okay, the laugh is only just that God doesn't know. But is that true? I mean, why don't we say it's possible that God knows, but he doesn't do it? You understand? The doing is missing. The element of the doing is missing. You see? You see what I'm saying? In other words, hayipole, okay, very good. But knowledge is one thing. Knowledge is one thing, but doing is something else. So you say, yeah, fine. So maybe she's laughing because she doesn't think because of the doing. You follow? How does hayipole alone serve to semantically fill in the gap over here that's necessary for the criticism? Because she's saying, she was laughing, it's not going to happen. So that would be two things. Yeah, of course, God needs the knowledge, but also there's the doing. Why is the doing missing? You see? Yeah. So I think over here, basically, there's another idea that's being conveyed. And of course, it's an idea that's a metaphysical idea, but it's a yesod and yadus. And that is that God's knowledge and his doing are the same. That only in man, you see, in man, man's knowledge and his doing are two different things. That's because man is made up of different components, you see. But Achdus Hashem, the Yesod and Achdus Hashem, and the Rambam mentions this, that's just the Rambam, and basically, all the Mefarshim, all the Bali and Masara, that in HaKadosh Baruch, that's what it means, Hashem Echad, Yichud Hashem means that he's not like a person who has two departments. One department is the department of knowledge, and then there's the department of action. But you see that this word was chosen, Hayipole Me'ad Hashem Dovar, to convey the idea clearly that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's knowledge and his action are identical. That's why Hayipole Me'ad Hashem Dovar means the laugh is only justified. Is only justified if you're saying God doesn't have the knowledge. Once he has the knowledge and the asiyah are one thing. Are one thing. There's no need to mention the asiyah. By the way, the Torah wrote it. It wrote it specifically. It chose that word to convey the idea of Yichud Hashem, because this is the Dvar Hashem to his Nevi'im. This statement is a statement of the Dvar Hashem to the Navi, to Avram Avinu, about Sarah. You follow? So you have to understand, this statement is different than other statements where the Torah is conveying to you, to us, the idea of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how HaKadosh Baruch Hu relates to the world. You understand? Like, V'chor Af Hashem. You see, that's Vayichav Shem is conveying to us. But over here, it's a conversation between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Avram, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is speaking to the highest level of Adam, Avram Avinu. You understand what I'm saying? You have to. So therefore, in that context, the pasuk says, "Hayipolem at Hashem Dover," teaches you another idea, not just the idea that God doesn't do the impossible because everything is dictated by His infinite chachma, but another idea as well, that Yidiyah Nasiyah is the same. There's no need to mention doing. You follow? No need to mention doing. And that's conveyed by the one word. How could the one word satisfy both? The answer is because there are no two things. It's just one. God's knowledge and His doing are one. So the pasuk conveys with this one word, and it's an amazing thing. I mean, you look at the word, you see this is the only way to explain it. It's almost self-evident once you think about it, that these two ideas are being conveyed simultaneously by the word of Hayipale. It's an amazing thing. Yeah. What I'm saying is, and I know he's going to have a hard time with this one. What I'm saying here is that the pasuk, by omission, is telling you something. There's an omission here. But the omission is there for a reason, to direct your mind to an idea. You follow what I'm saying? The choice of the reason why Hayipole, the word Hayipole Me'ar Hashem Davar, is there is to convey an idea that there's nothing missing, but his Yediyah and his Asiyah are identical. So even though to us it's two things, because we have human minds, so to us it breaks down to two things. But in reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's no real legitimacy in reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu of saying two things. Because that would mean that he has Yediyah and then he has Asiyah. You follow what I'm saying? So of course you have to understand this is again, when we say Dibra Tarka Lashem Bnei Adam, it means that or Midos HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Midos HaKadosh Baruch Hu are not HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Midos. They're Midos, they are ways through which the human mind can relate to what happens. Do you follow what I'm saying? But here, what I'm showing over here is in the Dvar Hashem to Avram Avinu, there is a very careful omission because it's a different level of comprehension of Yediyas Hashem. So on that level, there's no need to mention that. Do you follow what I'm saying? Because his Yediyah and his Asiyah are the same thing. So over here, cryptically, the Torah discloses the idea. But that's what I want to say. When we say Dibra Torah Kolashim Adam, it means that in general that's true, but it's not only Dibra Torah, it's Dibra Torah Af Kolashim B'nei Adam. But there are deep metaphysical ideas in Torah Sheba Ksav. And if you look carefully, you'll see them. Now, to understand the idea that God's Yediyah and his Asiyah are one, is as you know, not a simple matter. But simultaneously, it is something which an individual must know. Must know that this is so. In other words, that it is not two departments, so to speak, as it is in the case of our own intellect and our own asiyah. And that idea must be conveyed. And that idea is conveyed right here in this passage. Okay? That's what I'm trying to show you. Okay, yes. Vavin Abbas, what did she do wrong? That, we'll get to that. But what I'm trying to show you is that the Torah, in its choice of a word, conveys deep ideas. And I want to just give you a little insight into the methodology of how this works. But it's a very important thing, because people usually think that this Chochma and Torah Shebaal Peh. They don't realize, of course, that in Torah Shebichsav is the greatest Chochma, because it's the Dvar Hashem. I mean, you can't overlook the Chochma in Torah Shebichsav. And over here is a good opportunity, because you see clearly how this word Hayipole is a reference to very deep metaphysical ideas. And the pasuk will not
make any sense unless you make recourse to those consults.
Okay? Yes. What I'm saying is...
He's right.
What I'm saying is that there's a... Let me put it this way. There is a description of God's actions on our level, on a plane level. There's a description of God's actions for a Navi, which is on a different... who is on a different level of Yedias Hashem. Do you understand? That's what I'm trying to say. Now, you can ask me, well, but I want to understand how that works over there. I can't tell you how it works over there unless you have his idea. But I could show you what it's pointing to. Do you understand what I'm saying? You see, you have to be satisfied with an implication and a direction which is not within your frame of reference, but nevertheless, you have to know that it exists. Okay? And that's what I'm showing you from this pasuk, the Hayipole Me'er Hashem Dovar, points to important ideas, important principles that you can't start questioning because you're going to be questioning it on your level. But the ideas, you understand what I'm saying? The idea that it's pointing to is a deeper idea. It's an idea for a Navi would not distinguish. For the Navi, for Avraham Avinu, he wouldn't use two terms. You see? Hayipole Me'er Hashem Dovar, because that would imply that his idea and his action are two things. Hayipole Me'er Hashem Dovar means his idea and his action is one. Okay? That's because you don't understand it. But you have to know that is so, because everyone is chayif to know Yichud Hashem. Okay. Now the question is, what did she do wrong? Okay, what did she do wrong? So, the Ramban, of course, points out that Ramban says that it can't be, that this to her was a real Dvar Hashem, because then she would simply be Kofar Benavoa. So that's not possible. Okay. So what was wrong? What was the chait? What was her chait? And you see, she realized that she was involved in the chait because she was ashamed for Avraham Avinu, but she knew she was wrong. So what was the chait? That's the question. You see, from what we've said so far, you should be able to point to the general area and where in the chait exists. Do you understand what I'm saying? Let's not be too greedy. You know what I mean? We're trying to get the ultimate answer, but the methodology of Torah demands that you have a certain type of anivus in approaching an area. Be happy if you get the general approach. Where is the area in which the chait lies? Where's the area? What? Yeah, Yedias Hashem. How do you know? Because the pasuk of Hayipole Me'er Hashem Dovar clearly indicates that it's a lack of Yedias Hashem. That's the implication, because he's saying that God doesn't have the knowledge. Hayipole is a pasuk. Hayipole that God doesn't have the knowledge. So now, where is the lack of Yedias Hashem over here with regard to let's get a little more specific. Where is the lack of Yedias Hashem in so far as concerned? So the pasuk says Vatitzchak Sora Bekirbo Lema. So what do you mean Bekirbo? So Rashi says that she looked at her guf and she said, can this guf actually become youthful again? So there, the word Bekirbo, you see, is significant because it's conveying to us the direction and the approach. We cannot really understand the chait of Sarah. We're not Nevi'im. I mean, you have to understand the difficulty the Torah has, and that's the whole idea of Dibur Torah Kolosh Me'Adam, is because the Torah is the deepest metaphysical ideas, and yet it's trying to convey these ideas to people that are not deep metaphysicians, and even the Navi isn't a big enough metaphysician. But nevertheless, the whole concept of the Torah is to bring it, to make it at least knowledgeable on a certain plane, insofar as the individual on their level is capable of knowing it. So the pasuk says, "Vatitzchak sora bekirbo lemo." It's conveying to us an idea. Bekirbo, the chait is in bekirbo. That's what Rashi says. Bekirbo means she looked at her body. She says, "It's not. Can this really come back to the youthful state?" So what does that mean? So let's pursue a little further. So where is the chait?
So the chait is the relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Teva. That is the area of the chait. In other words, you see, every chait ultimately is always a chait Yedias Hashem. That's a different story. But the fact is that's the way it is. That's ultimately the way it is. Every chait is a chait in terms of a failure in Yedias Hashem. But it means to say what they're saying is what the pasuk is conveying is the idea that she misunderstood the relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Teva. In what manner? The manner that she misunderstood it in is that she gave the Teva a certain kind of reality of its own, separated from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In a sense, I mean, I'm exaggerating to convey the idea, but of course it's very imprecise the way I'm saying it. I'm just saying it for the purpose of explanation, in a sense. But what it means is that just to explain a little bit, derech moshel, it means that the teva, of course everybody knows the teva comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but the teva insofar as HaKadosh Baruch Hu is concerned is not like a gear, that there's a certain gear that it's in. That the Teva is in a certain gear, so to speak. And now it has to be uprooted and put into another gear. You see, I mean, that's the way we with our inferior abilities understand it. But the truth of the matter is that the Teva is God's will just as much and no differently than the Shinya Teva, than the Ashgaha. There is no difference, because if you're going to say there's a difference, then you're going to be mistaken insofar as Yichud Hashem again is concerned. You see? So the Pasuk, that's exactly what the Pasuk is pointing out. You follow? That insofar as that the Chait was on some level, insofar as Sarah was concerned, a lack of Yediyah, or a slipping into a state where the Yediyas Hashem in relationship to his will insofar as the Teva is concerned and his will insofar as his actions are concerned was wrong. Do you follow what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? That's the pasuk about Titzchak Sarah Bekir Bo Lamar. That's really the answer to the question. The question was that how you're going to get caught. Because if you're going to say, the original question was, if you're going to say, you're going to justify her, so then what's the criticism? Elamai, you're going to explain me the criticism. So then how could she do this? But the answer is that the chait of Sarah is a different kind of a chait. It's a chait insofar as Yediyah is concerned. That she looked at the Teva momentarily as fixed, more fixed. The Teva is fixed, but it's fixed in a different sense. Fixed in a sense that God's relationship to the Teva is different than his relationship to his other actions. And that's not true. You see? The Teva may be a pattern, but the pattern's existence is constantly dependent on his will. And therefore, there is no such thing as an uprooting of a pattern insofar like we look at it. We look at it, Teva is established. Okay, so it's like the universe is coasting. It's coasting now, and that's in a coasting state. But then it's if there's a nace, so then the coasting is stopped. And now something new is happening. That is a way that a human being looks at it based upon the way his mind works, which his mind is a created faculty, you see. But in truth, and the level of a Navi, on the level of a Navi, a higher level of understanding was demanded of her. And that is not to view the Teva as being fixed in any sense, because a Navi understands the relationship between God's will and the Teva, and therefore the left is completely inappropriate. Do you follow what I mean? That's what the pasuk is pointing at. Okay. See, the circumstances of the chait, I mean, that the Ramban says, that of course, if it were... See, the Ramban is not trying to... I think people make a mistake, because people want to know what a chait was. So look at the Ramban, they figure he's going to explain it. The Ramban is not interested in explaining that, basically. The Ramban is just telling you one thing. The Ramban is just saying to you that don't think that she heard a Dvar Hashem and she left. That's crazy. So obviously she didn't know what was Dvar Hashem. But the Ramban is just setting the stage. Yeah, it's a good thing to remind me. The Ramban is just setting the stage, but the Ramban is not telling you what the chait is, you see. I'm not concerned with the circumstances of the chait. The circumstances, what exactly the circumstances of the chait, well, we can't know. Just the Ramban says, the only thing we know is that obviously she didn't think it was a Dvar Hashem. Otherwise, it's impossible to say she's Makrish Nevuah, that's ridiculous. But beyond that, we don't know. The Ramban's not going beyond that, because the chait beyond that is a different kind of a chait. It's a chait in her understanding. The laugh is a result of a misunderstanding of the relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu's existence and his will and his essence and his knowledge, which of course is one, and the Teva. That's where the mistake is. That's what Titzchak Sar Bekirbo Lamor. That's what the Pasuk is pointing out. That's the area where the mistake was. You follow? I'm not even trying to define it precisely, but I'm just trying to give you an easier way to understand it. As if to say the Teva has some kind of existence on its own, that God puts the universe into an automatic shift, and now it's shifting this way. That is incorrect. You may think of it that way, but you have to recognize at the same time that is only a mode of thinking which results from our mental faculties, which are incapable, and on our level we don't really understand how it works. But for Sarah there was a greater demand, and what the pasuk, this much we could say, that if Sarah would not have had a lack of Yediyas Hashem insofar as his relationship to the Teva, then that laugh would be Then the left would not be in existence. Okay. The point is, the left is inappropriate because of this lack of knowledge. If I'm saying, that's what we could say from the psukim. There are certain areas in Torah that we have to approach. We could approach in a certain way. But what I want to point out is just because it's extremely important to know that just because we can't tack a thing down on our level does not mean that we don't have an obligation to have any knowledge in that area. You follow? Yeah. Let me. What I want to show you is like this. Take a look at the Ramban. The Ramban says, "Ei poli med Hashem dovar." So the Ramban says, "Yeah, ei poli med Hashem dovar." So the pasuk is, take a look at the Ramban. Ha'im dovar nifla v'rochaku shiriya me'es Hashem. So the Ramban doesn't interpret it. Ramban says, is it something which is nifla v'rochok? But then he has a problem. He says like this. So then he says kiloshon ki mimcha akol v'domo lozeh me'osher shemeino lachmo. So the Ramban, it's interesting, the Ramban is concerned not with the word ayipole, you see, but with the word mei Hashem. What does mei mean? He said apole could mean rochok. Is it far, distant? But then he says then the mei has to be explained, and he says you do find sometimes that the yihyeh is missing. In other words, ha'yipole sheyiyeh me'ad Hashem dovar. So he shows you other writers, but he's worried about the grammatical may, but he's not really concerned with the ha'yipole. But in the next moment, the Ramban says like this: v'unkelus tirgum ha'yiskase aso'o kiloshon ki yipole mimcha dovar l'mishpat. Ramban says the exact same thing we said. The Imkain, he says, Yesh bo sod nelam. That's what the Ramban says. Yesh bo sod nelam. And that's really what I wanted to explain. But the thing is, what I want to explain about the Ramban, I didn't see the Ramban before, actually just took a look at this morning. But what I want to explain about the Ramban is something that has to do with methodology. What does it mean, Imkain Yesh bo sod nelam? So, but he's saying two pshatim. You understand? He's saying first means is a rochok, and then he says it's sod nelam. The Ramban doesn't mean it's two separate pshatim. It's either or. The Ramban means they're both right. But the Ramban means that really Unkelus Pshat is the right Pshat, and that's a Sod Nelam, and that's what we were trying to explain, that it deals with Sod Nelam, and that's what I'm trying to explain to you, that you have to get a certain methodology in learning Tarash B'Chsav, and you have to know exactly how to approach it, but you shouldn't say that because you can't understand the ultimate thing that you gain, you have no knowledge. It serves as a tremendous vehicle of knowledge because it gives a person mental direction, you see, even though he doesn't understand the chait of Sar, because he can't, but it gives him tremendous direction. But what the Ramban is saying, the reason why Ramban had the first shot is because the Ramban maintains that there must be a Pshuto Shel Mikra also, you understand, for the person, because for the average person. So the Ramban says that the choice of the word Hayipole was very precise. Of course, really it means Kipole Dovam Mimchol HaMishpat, like Unkla says, and there's a Sod Nelam there. But it also is a word that could be explained as Rachok, so that a person that's reading it has to make some kind of sense. Do you understand what I'm saying? So many times when the Ramban gives two Pshatim, they're not either or. They're both correct. On a really exact level, there's no question. It's Kipole Mimcha Dovam HaMishpat, exact same word. But I'll ask you a question: How could the Torah write something that a person who is Dibur Torah Lashon HaAdam? So how could the Torah write something that a person has no idea what this word means? So the Ramban says, no, because it could also, in a secondary sense, be used as meaning something far fetched. So a person reads this, is too far from God to do this? You understand what I'm saying? So the Ramban is not saying over here that it's either or. In Torah, many times both of them are correct. The more exact interpretation is based on the word itself. You can't deny that. I mean, it's the exact same word. But how could the Torah convey it to an average person? Because the word Yipole could also, in a secondary sense, mean that it's far removed. But the Ramban is not denying what the plain pshat in grammatically in terms of the word. But he says that pshat has a very deep soul on it. But he's not going to be able to really fathom what ultimately it means. We don't really understand what the chait of, so you can't understand the chait of Sarah, because we're not on that level. She wasn't there. But you can understand something about it, and you see the pasuk went out of its way to do that by using the word Hayipole and using the word Vatitzchak Sarah Bekirbo Lamar. But those words are not just because of Dibur Torah Kol Shmei Adam. Those words have deep ideas behind them. That's what I want to bring up. Okay, yes. In Panel Torah means that there's infinite chachma in Torah and in the way in the grammar and the thing, every infinite chachma. But it is, I mean, I'm not interested in explaining that chazal. I mean, that means infinite chachma in the expression of Torah Shabbat. But I'm just trying to show you we're not on that level. Just plain, that there's a plain pshat in the pasuk that really just the surface shows you the deep sodos that underlie it, even in the language of the pasuk. That's what I'm trying to say. Okay. I would say the following: what is the connection between this and between the basura? There was a basura here, correct? What is the connection between this and between the basura about Yitzchak? But the answer is clear. The answer is because. And what was the importance of the importance of the criticism? The answer is because, in order to produce a Yitzchak, it was necessary to have Avram and Sarah on the highest level of Yedias Hashem. That's the connection between the Besura and between the criticism. Excuse me? And he was obligated to criticize. Well, you got an obligation to do it. But it's tied to that because in order to teach you that Yitzchak could not emerge unless it was from an Avram and a Sarah, and their level of Yedias Hashem. And if Sarah slipped insofar as the deal was concerned, then that would affect Yitzchak as well. I don't know, it's not right. No, Rachok doesn't mean impossible. No, it doesn't say impossible. It means Rachok means It means, are you limiting your vision, your field of vision, so insofar as HaKadosh Baruch Hu's actions are concerned? That's what it means. Rachok, far away. And you're not saying it's impossible, you're saying it's not within my field of vision. See? By the way, in the other case, there are two cases in Torah like this. This is one case, and the other case is the case by Moshe Rabbeinu. When Moshe Rabbeinu said to him, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that Asophis, by when they wanted meat, when they wanted basar,
by what?
Yeah, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told to Moshe Rabbeinu, Elohom Tomar, Skatchu Lamacha Vachaltem Basar. Just give me a Bamidbar with the Mikros Gedolos. Is Kachul Machalten Basar? Ki Vichisim Basar Hashem Lema Mi Achilenu Basar? You're saying that we don't have any Basar? Ki Tovlana Be Mitzrayim Venasar Hashem Lachem Basar Achalten. Lo Yom Echot Tochum Lo Yom Mayim Lo Chamishi Yomim Ad Chodesh Yom Ad Sheyetzei Ma'ane Apcha. Okay. Then it says Vayom Moshe Sheish Meos Elef Ragli Ha'oma She'anochi Bekirbo. Vato Marto Atein Lohem Basar Atein Lohem Vachlu Chodesh Yomim. I should say, how is that possible? Hatzon of Vaki Yishachet Lehem Umatzal Lehem. Im is called the Gei Hayom Ye Yosef Lehem Umatzal Lehem. So here's a similar kind of thing. And Moshe Rabbeinu is this from God. Same kind of thing it sounds like. God can't do this. Sounds like that. Vayom Hashem Moshe Hayad Ad Hashem Tiktzor. Here it doesn't say, hey, pull him at Hashem Dal. Hayad Ad Hashem Tiktzor Atasir HaYikrucha Dvarim Lo. What is the difference between the two? What's the difference? It's a clear-cut difference. By Sarai was a chait nidias Hashem. By Moshe Rabbeinu was a chait. It was not a chait nidias Hashem in terms of his relationship to the Teva. That kind of chait Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't have. But what is Hayad Ad Hashem Tiktzor? Hayad Ad Hashem Tiktzor means, like the Ibn Ezra says, but without the Ibn Ezra. Just, I don't like to make recourse to Mepharshim because it sounds like, you know, you make recourse to Mepharshim, it sounds like it's not Pshuk HaShem Mikra. Yad Hashem. Yad Hashem is Yisias Mitzrayim. Biyot Chazaka. Okay, Hayad Hashem Tiktzor means, are you going to limit, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, are you going to limit how I perform Nisim in terms of demonstration? That's the Yad Hashem, Yad Chazaka. Okay, so L'chol HaOsos HaMoso, Yad HaChazaka is Roar HaNatuya, that was only once, Moshe Rabbeinu Mitzrayim, never again. So the Hayad Ad Hashem Tiktzor is insofar as God's will to demonstrate to the Am, that's Yad Hashem. It's a different phrase. And the Ibn Ezra says on the spot, what's the Pshat? He says the Pshat is because Moshe Rabbeinu did not think that God will perform a nes under these kind of circumstances just for an Am, because there's Savu Taiva. You see? He says, God does Shini Ateva for Nevi'im, for Tzadikim, but not for Hamonam, just because it's Avu Taiva. So that's what Moshe Rabbeinu said. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu expressed his disbelief when he spoke to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because he had a certain understanding of how God works in terms of the miraculous. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him he was wrong. Hayad Ad Hashem Tiktzor? No, you're wrong. He lacked the Yedias Hashem, but not Yediyas Hashem in this sphere. This sphere, Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't like Yediyas Hashem. But in the sphere of his galus, the Yediyas Hashem, insofar as his galus HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he lacked. But you see the Torah, there are two cases like this in the Torah, and the phrases are very precise because they're two distinct realms of idea. One is the realm, insofar as Yediyas Hashem per se, his relationship to the Teva, and that realm Moshe Rabbeinu didn't lack any idea. But insofar as this Galus Hashem, that's a different kind of Yedias Hashem. It's a Yedias Hashem that's much more difficult for a human being. And that area he didn't have the accurate, according to his understanding, this would not happen. And that's a Yad Hashem Tiksa. Yes, okay. Yeah, that's a Machlokes Tanayim, but that's a different passage. Yeah. A lack of Yedias Hashem insofar as God's relationship to the Teva, that's a lack of Yediyas Hashem insofar as the Kel Shakai. Vo'erol Avram el Yitzchak vel Yaakov bekel Shakai. That's a specific realm of Yediyas Hashem. The Ushmir Hashem is the Midas His Galus HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's a different kind of Yediyas Hashem. That's a kind of Yediyas Hashem is much more difficult for a human being to have. Insofar as Soros Chet is concerned, It was a lack of Yedias Hashem insofar as Kel Shakai is concerned. That's Yedias Hashem insofar as how he relates to the universe. That's an intrinsic kind of Yedias. But insofar as the Maaseh Hashem and Midas is Galuso, that's a different realm of Yedias. That is much more difficult for a person that even Moshe Rabbeinu, you see, didn't have. He didn't have fully. Had to survive. When the Pasuk says, Va'era Avraham Yisrael Yaakov, Bekel Shakai Shmir Hashem Lo No Dati Lohem, again, the Lo No Dati Lohem, it means that Moshe Rabbeinu was privileged to gain Yedias even insofar as the realm of Yedias Hashem by his Galus Hashem. But that's a different kind of Yedias Hashem, you have to understand. So that was Hayadat Hashem Tiktzor is perfect, the Lashon. Hayadat Hashem Tiktzor is the Yad Hashem, the Yod Chazaka, the Yisgalus Hashem. But it's very precise, the phraseology is very precise. And Hayipolem Ad Hashem Dover is not the same as the Yad Hashem Tiktzor. Even though on the surface, a person would think that these two things are the same. But they're not. They're two different realms of Yedias Hashem. And only Moshe Rabbeinu was privileged to gain the Yedias Hashem insofar as Midas is Galus is concerned. But the others had the Yedias Hashem, the Kel Shakai. But her chait was a chait in Yedias Hashem in the framework of Kel Shakai. But Moshe Rabbeinu wouldn't have such a chait. His chait, he was the Adon HaNeviim. He wouldn't have such a chait. But he did not understand fully either the Galus Hashem. It's a different kind of Yedias Hashem. It's different. That's the Yedias Hashem which Moshe Rabbeinu received in the Gimel Midos. Yeah. No, I mean the Torah is completely against the idea of what the world calls religious blind faith. I mean, Moshe Rabbeinu wouldn't say. Because you're right, the whole relationship, it's clear from the Torah itself. I mean, almost for anybody that reads it, that constantly, I mean, that the whole relationship between the Nevi'im, I mean, and the Adon HaNevi'im, the other, and the Avos, is all a relationship of Chachma. It's pretty clear. I mean, it's only sometimes, like the Rambam says, certain things were raised in such misconceptions because of the surrounding society that it's difficult to get back to certain basic, simple things, which is Pshuto Shel Mikra. I mean, you're right. You're absolutely right. I mean, it's unfortunate. That's really the onish of the Golas, that the like the Rambam says, that the Pasuk says that Vavartem Shama Limachem Eitzvavim. That's really what it means. I mean, it means the ideas that are in our minds, implanted in our minds, from the fact that we're estranged from the real Masorah. I mean, because we're living in the Golas, in a different society. There's no question about it. Yeah. There's one more. Let me just, instead of going to another topic, I'll just finish off the same area. I know it's a difficult topic, and maybe, you know, people like to hear more drush, but I think this is extremely, I think it's extremely important, because you're dealing with Yesod Hadas over here. I just want to show you another case where the Pshuto Shel Mikra, and it has to do with this, with the same idea, basically. The Pshuto Shel Mikra indicates a profound idea. You have a Shmos with the Mikros Gedolos, yeah. And that is the Pasuk in the Yigimel Midos. Everybody is aware, has a knowledge, some concept of the Yigimel Midos. After all, I mean, we say it in Slichas all the time. We know that Kadosh Baruch Hu said that Tasa Lefana Kaseda Lezev Ani Machalam. But you have to have some insight into what it means on at least a basic level, and then you have to be sensitive to the psukim, to the way the psukim teach us the Yigimel Midos. But there's something very strange in the psukim of the Yigimel Midos, and very outset, something you don't find anywhere else, and that is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals to Moshe Rabbeinu the Yigimel Midos. So what does the pasuk say? You say it in the Yiddish. Layavar Hashem Alponov Vayikra Ad Hashem Kel Racham Lachana. So that's very strange. What do you mean? Layavar Ad Hashem Alponov Vayikra, right? She said Layavar Hashem Alponov Shel Moshe Vayikra
Ani kel rachem v'chanan erech apayim rav chesed v'emes. Just like Kadosh Baruch Hu told me before, ani avir kol tuvi apanecho. Okay. So the Ibn Ezra. So why does it switch to the third person? See, vayavar Hashem vayikra. She said, ani kel rachem v'chanan. No, Adoshem kel rachem v'chanan. Third person. Why Adoshem? Why did it switch to the third person? Okay, it's against the way the psukim, the semantics of the psukim, where it should have been. So the Ibn Ezra says on the spot, he says why? Because he says with regard to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ibn Ezra says, Vayavar v'altatama ba'avur shehashem korei Hashem. Says, don't be astounded because it says Hashem calls Hashem. Ki hu levado yodea v'da'as v'yadua. Because there's no difference. You see, God's knowledge of himself and his knowledge is one. He's the yodea, he's the das, and he's the yadua. V'zeh davar omoku ma'od. Okay? Yeah, the Rambam says in the first sefer, I believe it's the first paragraph where he says Dovar Zeh, no, not the Mordechai, the Rambam the Yad HaChazaka, where he says Dovar Zeh is Yefshel La'odom La'asigo Al-Buryo, because it's Yichud Hashem, it's oneness. But you see, the Pasuk went out of its way, because why didn't it say Ani Ani? Why did it say Adashem Adashem? Because a person, when a person does something, is in the process of doing something, so then he thinks of himself in the first person. When he's reflecting on himself, it's a different process. So then he can think of himself in the third person. But with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's no such thing. There's no first person, third person. It's the same thing. So therefore, Vayavar Hashem al pano vayikra Adashem Adashem. That's what the Ibn Ezra is saying. But it's a sod omo, because the Rambam says that to really understand it, and Ibn Ezra, I mean, it's the same thing, same idea, that it's very, a person can't grasp that, because a person's mind is partly imaginative. There's a faculty of the imaginative, and he can't get out of that, so it becomes impossible to grasp it. But nevertheless, you see, it was extremely important for the Torah to make that point clear, at least to someone that's sensitive to the Lashon HaMikra, okay? Even though it's a sod nelam, it doesn't mean it's something a person shouldn't know. He has to know it on some level, even insofar as it gives him direction or knowledge that he doesn't have any Yedias Hashem really. That alone is a tremendous gain. But you see, where did the Torah do this? Where did the Torah do this? This Vayikra, like the Al Tatame Shashem Kari Hashem, it doesn't make sense, Hashem's Kari Hashem. So where did the Torah do it? By the Yud Gimel Midos. That a person should not think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has midos. The midos are the way our mind interprets the effects of God's actions. But they are not. They are certain patterns that our mind can put things into patterns. We have that ability, and that is knowledge. That's human knowledge, but it's human knowledge. It's human knowledge. But the Torah wanted to make sure precisely in the place where the midos HaKadosh Baruch Hu is formulated in the Torah, so therefore the Torah in that place made a point of showing you Yichud Hashem. Vayav Hashem pan vayikra Adashem Adashem. How is that possible? Torah's pointing to an idea. That's what I'm trying to show you, that in Torah Shebichsav there are extremely, everybody just looks Torah Shebichsav. Well, you wait for the Torah Shebapeh. Now I'm going to get a real deep idea. That's a misrepresentation. It's not correct. In the Torah Shebichsav itself is the greatest chokhmah is in the Torah Shebichsav. I mean, you need Torah Shebichsav. The Torah Shebichsav, you have to have Torah Shebichsav to unravel it. But you have to be able to see it in Torah Shebichsav. There's something. Let me conclude with one idea. Yeah.
Perek Beis
Alachiyud.
Yeah.
What's the lashon hara? Atma.
And he says, Global Lay for Autumn Lakiro Alburyov.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Your peg base of Lakir. Akarish Bachu Makir Amitaso, the Adea Osak Moshe Heve, any Adea Adea Shechutzmanel. And he goes through the same thing as the Ibn Ezra, exact same thing. And he says, Nimtzas Ata Omer, Hua Yodea, Hua Yodua, Vuhua Dea Atma. There are no three components. Akol Echot. The Dovozain Koch Bepela Omro, Velo Bozin Lashamo, Velo Belev Ha'odom Lakiro Albuya. It's impossible for a person to grasp that. But he could, but it doesn't mean he's not supposed to know it. It doesn't mean that he's putter from knowing it. That would be a terrible mistake. And that would be because the Kol HaTorah Kula, the idea of Kol HaTorah Kula is that areas that we don't know completely is not an excuse to be devoid of knowledge insofar as you are capable concerning those areas. Otherwise there wouldn't be any mitzvah of knowledge for man altogether, because man's knowledge is always incomplete. Always incomplete. But I just want to add one thing. Ados Slach. In the Yud Gimel Midos, so what is the essential idea of the Yud Gimel Midos? Hashem, Hashem, Kel Racham Lachana. Erech Apayim Rav Chesed Venis. And the Rambam says, I believe in the Mori, says it mainly, of course, as you see yourself, it's Midas Aracham. Midas Aracham. Except for Emes. Emes is different. Okay. But Midas Aracham. So, of course, the thing is that it sounds on the surface like a simplistic kind of thing. You know, even though you realize it's not so simplistic, because it's not something that an average person would say, given his sphere of experience, you see. So you see this, but what is it? It has to be something there that is not just above the knowledge of an ordinary human being, but it has to be something that's extremely, extremely profound and is tied to the very core of Yedias Hashem. You understand what I'm saying? It's not just a fact. It's not just a fact. Hashem Hashem Rahai is Rahman, so God has a cheshbon in everything he does, and we don't know the cheshbon. That may be true, and it certainly is true, but you can't stop over there. That's a simplistic idea. What I want to show you is that what does it mean? What the idea of Hashem Hashem Kel Racham Lachanan is tied to is only possible for Moshe Rabbeinu to really know what that means. And we can't know it. Most people think, well, if I don't know the cause, I don't know what's happening. But if I know what's happening, I don't understand. No. The basic idea of Hashem Hashem Kel Racham Lachanan is a concept that goes to the very heart of Yedias Hashem. Because what does it mean? It means like this. It means insofar as a person has Yedias Hashem, so the greater the Yedias Hashem, the greater the realization, like the Rambam says, that Adam is nothing. As an existence, he's nothing. Certainly an individual Adam, insofar as the existence of the creation, and I don't mean simply because of the short time that he has in this existence or other temporal things. That is all true, but that all ties into one picture in terms of the essence of his existence, his caused existence. The more a person has Yedias Hashem, the more a person realizes that Adam is nothing, and they're tied together. You can't really. Vanochi off of Efer, when Avraham Avinu said Vanochi off of Efer, it wasn't a statement of humility. It was a reality in terms of Yedias Hashem. Vanochi off. And the same thing is true with all the Nevi'im. I mean, that it's not like people think. It's nothing to do with humility. But people think humility. It's Yedias Hashem. So Hashem Hashem Kel Racham Lachanan essentially means, or one aspect, which I think is an essential aspect of it, is that if a person had ultimate Yedias Hashem, it would not make any sense that there should be din and dayan for us, because we're not deserving of it. You see, Rachum in the sense that you could see his infinite Rachmanis in the fact that he relates to us in the way that he does. You see, insofar as giving us a Derech HaChayim and Mishpat and the whole, the ultimate, a person would, like the Rambam says, is Nikra Racham. The term Racham is an expression that we would use. It would be, for instance, if you'd see the greatest
if you'd see the greatest person in the world, that would be very, very concerned about what a little child was doing to take care of his needs. You'd say, how would you express such a phenomenon? How would you express it? You'd say, this person is an unbelievable Rachmanis, you see. So the term Racham, of course, is borrowed, Nikra, because like the Rambam said, it means that in our sphere, that's how we would refer to it. So the idea of Hashem, Hashem, Kel Racham Achanan, which Moshe Rabbeinu receives, it was only possible for Moshe to receive that. It's not like people think that, well, God gave him more knowledge. Now he understands this, he understands that, and he understands why this event took place and why that event, a series of particulars. It is not simply that. I'm not saying that he didn't understand the particulars, but I'm just saying the essential idea of Rachum is tied to the Yedias Hashem, which, because of that, the statement of Dovra Melech is Mo Enosh Kisis Kareno. And the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mazkir B'nai Adam, that is the greatest expression of Rachmanis. So you can't really understand the Rachmanis of HaKadosh Baruch Hu unless you have a high level of Yedias Hashem. That's why only Moshe Rabbeinu really understood Hashem or Hashem Kel Racham Racham. We could say it, and we're obligated to know that what it leads to, you see, but we really can't understand or approach even the understanding of Moshe Rabbeinu. Only he can understand it, and even he, who could understand it, could not without Nevuah gain that knowledge. Only through Nevuah he was able to understand it, but not able to originate it. Avraham Avinu was able to originate the idea that God exists. That was from his own Chachma. But Moshe Rabbeinu could not anticipate himself the Hashem Hashem Karachman. It was only through Maria Nevuah that he was able to understand it, as receive it, but not to initiate it.